Good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We thank God for the gift of sunshine in this season of resurrection. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, whether you're here week in and week out with us, or if this is your very first visit. We're pleased that you're here, and those of us who are here on an ongoing basis would like to extend a hand of friendship to you. And if we don't get to you early enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we're delighted that you're here, and we hope you'll find a home here with us. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find an insert, actually a couple of inserts. It gives you a lot of information about how you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up a couple of things. First of all, our spring stock sale is going on in support of our youth summer mission trips. You can support those trips by visiting the table in Reed Hall. If you haven't purchased stock in those mission trips, Or if you would like to purchase more, you can see Jack Ferrara or Rachel Gadd, who will be out there following the service. They will be more than happy to help you. Also, in preparation for Youth Sunday, which is April 21st, we would like to try to expand our sense of who is our neighbor, get to know and love and act in more gracious ways toward our neighbors. And this year, we're focusing on those neighbors, that 780 million people in the world who lack clean water. So our youth are partnering with Blood Water Mission, and they are learning about how you bring water to individuals who may not have clean water, and not just learning about it, but they're actually collecting money and participating in doing that. It also involves improved sanitation and hygiene, and this is to people in communities in Africa. Also, our communion offering will go to support Youth Sunday and Blood Water Mission, and I'll say more about that during communion. Our plant sale is Wednesday and Thursday, April 10th and 11th, from 8:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. If you've already pre-ordered, you can pick up your plants then. If you didn't pre-order, if you would like some more plants, you can stop by during that time, because there are lots of perennials and herbs and tomatoes and pepper plants that you can pick up. All of this goes to support our children's ministry, both the children's ministry within the church itself and the preschool ministry. So I hope you, if you haven't bought already, I hope you'll stop by and take a look at those plants. We thank God that Easter is not just a day. It is a season of life and resurrection. All around us it is. Keep your eyes and ears open. Notice, look. It's here today.
Light of the world, we hail thee, thy eastern skies. Never shall darkness veil thee again from human eyes. To
How joyful it is to celebrate the good news of God's love.
We are called to be Easter people.
Darkness cannot claim us.
Fear cannot bind us.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And now a reading from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, it was the very end of my first semester of Greek in seminary. We were coming up to the exam, and I was pretty nervous because I've never been good with languages. Our professor passed out the final exam for that semester, and when I looked at the very first line, it gave me at least a little relief. It read, "In arche hehologos." In the beginning was the Word. And I thought, hey, I know this. I kind of know the gist of it. I may not know it by heart, but I think I can actually probably translate this. I'm sure everybody else in the class was breathing a sigh of relief as well. Now, at the end of second semester, he wasn't so kind to us. But John begins his gospel with a hymn to the creative, imaginative Word of God that brought everything into being. He begins with exactly the same words in Greek, while the words in Genesis are in Hebrew, that begins Genesis, in the beginning. Now, this distinguishes John from every other gospel. In Mark, it begins with a baptism. God enters into Jesus when he comes to be baptized, and Jesus goes forth, proclaiming the reign of God. In Matthew and Luke, you have these lovely birth stories, one with shepherds, the other with magi, and they somehow validate Jesus as someone set apart. Not in John. It doesn't start with baptism, and it doesn't start with birth. It starts before the beginning of anything that ever was. And Jesus was that word that God spoke that brought everything into being. Now, when I tell you a story, my desire is that as I describe things to you, you'll see those things in your imagination. That's how stories work. But when God speaks, when God tells a story, things actually become. That's how in Genesis, in that first of the two creation stories, God brings the entire universe into being. And so for John, Jesus is not just somebody who showed up of late, but this creative, imaginative word that God used to create all that is has come and pitched a tent in our midst. That's what the Greek word means, pitched a tent. God has moved into the neighborhood in Jesus. The Word became flesh and pitched a tent among us, full of grace and truth. Now, some folks couldn't recognize this. He came to some of his own and they couldn't recognize him. They refused him. But to anyone who could recognize what God was doing, John says, there is light and there is life to be had. Because Jesus brings that light and that life to all people. Now, in Easter, we're just beginning the final of our membership vows, witness. And when you say witness to a bunch of United Methodists, we kind of slide down behind the pew and we look away, and because we don't want to do the W word, right? We've had such a terrible experience with the what I consider to be abuses of the word witness, people trying to strong-arm you into their church or trying to wrestle with you until you came to their perspective or point of view. That's not what happens. Not here. You see, John the Baptist, who is never called John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, he is John the Witness. His witness is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Last week, we dealt with the final witness, you might say, in that resurrection story when Mary Magdalene becomes the very first proclaimer of the gospel when she says, "I've seen the Lord." That's what witnesses do. They say what they see. They tell about what they experienced. But they do more than that. Witness is more than words. Witness is action. Now, if you skip a couple of chapters and move to chapter 3 in John, we have a story that helps exemplify that. There was a man named Nicodemus who was a very important man in Israel. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. We might say something like the state legislature, okay? And because he was a very important man, he came to see Jesus at night, I assume, so none of his important friends would know that he was come to visit this itinerant rabbi. And Jesus and his friends are standing there in the firelight, and right out of the darkness comes Nicodemus, and he said, "You know, you must be sent from God, otherwise you couldn't be doing all these wonderful things you're doing." And Jesus is kind of startled and taken aback. And his reply is, "You know, if you don't get born from above," we here in the South often call that born again, "if you don't get born from above, you won't even recognize what God is doing when you're right in the middle of it." That didn't make any sense to Nicodemus. He was of a literal turn of mind, and he said, "Now, what do you mean, get born from above? How is anybody able to climb back up inside their mama," that's what he says in the Greek, "and get born again?" And Jesus says, "Use your imagination, man. I'm not talking about getting born like that again. I am talking about being born with the Spirit for your mother and the water for your father." "Let me put it this way," Jesus says. "You don't know where the wind comes from, and you don't know where the wind goes to. But as you stand by the fire, you can see the smoke as it is moved one direction or another by the wind. You can look at the trees, and you can see the leaves dancing along the limbs as the wind passes by. You may not be able to see the wind, but you can see what the wind does." That's the way it is when God breathes on you. This was making less and less sense all the time to Nicodemus. Finally, Jesus says, "Let me put it simply. God loved this booming, buzzing cosmos so much that God sent a divine child so that everyone would be able to know that God's love is forever and forever and for everybody." Nicodemus was still confused. Jesus said, "God didn't send that child into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world could learn what it's like to be in good relationship with God. The problem is, God sent the light, we prefer darkness. God sent love, we prefer hate. God sent kindness, we prefer meanness. It's not God's problem. It's our problem that we don't recognize what God is doing in the world and take part in it." What Nicodemus is given is an invitation not just to say what he experienced, but to act out of what he experienced. You see, the best witness we have is what we do. When people watch us, do they see that light, that love and kindness of God emanating out of us? Our best witness is found in our actions. Let me give you an example. Now, this comes from our own state legislature. And there are some folks who will say this is political, but I don't believe it is. Because you see, when you start taking food out of the mouths of children, it ceases to be political and it becomes a Jesus issue. And there are those folks who believe that it's appropriate to take away food from families with children who are failing in school. Whoa. In the first service, there was a little girl in the back. Her mother told me, when I said that, she started to pay attention. She looked up at her mom like, what? Yeah. Now, I don't think it's political because, you see, it wasn't a politician who said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, because of such is the kingdom of God. That was Jesus who said that. It wasn't a politician who said to his followers, well, the 5,000 people are hungry, you feed them. And when his followers said, wait a minute, we don't have that kind of money and that kind of food, Jesus said, well, what you got? And they brought a few loaves and a few fish, and Jesus blessed it and passed it around, and with everybody sharing, there was more than enough, which is what happens when everybody shares. Right? It is Jesus who says at the final judgment, the question we're going to be asked is not what our political persuasion was. Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Did you give water to those who were thirsty? Did you visit the sick and imprisoned? That will be the test. So this is a Jesus issue. Now, supposedly this is presented as a way of getting more parental involvement. And quite frankly, I can't imagine a teacher who wouldn't want more parental involvement. But you know what? I don't think even if it's passed, it's going to work, because I don't know any teacher in this world who would fail a child if that teacher thought that it was going to take food out of their mouths and off their family's table. I don't believe there is a teacher who would do that. You see, these issues that get cast as political or cast as social, they're Jesus issues. And Jesus speaks to some of them. And my job is to do the best way job I can in telling you what I understand Jesus says about those things. But that doesn't mean that people can't learn. Doesn't mean that people can't change, because you know Nicodemus? A little bit later in the story, he takes up for Jesus and what he's doing in the Sanhedrin, in the state legislature, among all of his powerful friends. And a little bit later on, when Jesus is crucified, Nicodemus helps make the funeral arrangements. Something must have gotten through to him. By the end of this story, he is a changed man. Now, finally, we invite folks to this table. And we invite everyone to this table, because just as Jesus didn't provide any qualifications to feed the 5,000, he didn't say to his disciples, feed any of the 5,000 who had over a C average in school. No. Right? No. And it's even more radical when you get to this table, because Jesus is serving someone who has already betrayed him, someone who would deny knowing him, all the rest of them who would desert him. There are no qualifications. If there were qualifications at this table, you and I would not be able to come, folks. But there aren't. We are all invited. Not because of who we are or what we have achieved, but because who God is. Because you see, the light of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world could enter into a deeper relationship of love with God. And we invite people to this table. We affirm that light is stronger than darkness, that love is stronger than hate, that kindness is stronger than meanness, and that welcome is stronger than exclusion. We witness to this by our very actions around this table. Now the question is, as we go from this place, do we witness to those same truths as we live our daily lives. With God's help, I believe we will. Thanks be to God.
We would like to welcome all of those who have come to worship with us at West End United Methodist Church. If you're a visitor, please join us in Reed Hall, directly to your right, and pick up a loaf of bread to welcome you here and find out more about the ways that you can be involved with our church. Also, if you're a college student, please meet us also in Reed Hall. We'll go and get lunch afterwards and have a time of fellowship and conversation. If you will pass the attendance pad to your left and then back, noting who you're worshiping with. Also, there's a gray card in your pew. You can write prayer concerns there or comments for staff and lay leadership. Please indicate if the prayer request is confidential, and we'll keep it that way. Our sympathy is extended to the family of Madeira, Steve, Jack, and Wesley Beckham, who are mourning the death of Medea's mother, Hilda Wilson Dickerson, who died on March 29th in Memphis, Tennessee. Services were held there on April 2nd. We also mourn with David and Katie Killian, who are mourning the death of David's grandfather, Wayne Warden Killian, who died March 31st in Birmingham, Alabama. Our sympathy is also extended to Babs, Andrew, and David White, who are mourning the death of Bab's father, Jack Kearns. He died on Monday, April 1st in Nashville, Tennessee. Services were held there on Thursday at St. John's United Methodist Church. God has graciously given all that we have. As a people of faith, let's return thanks through our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
Also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, all-loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And now, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup. When he had given thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples and said to them, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now, with the confidence of beloved children of God, I invite you to join with me as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. Since there is one loaf, We, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and as I said before, you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you to come by way of the center aisle, come to the chancel rail, and kneel when you're ready to be served. Just extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. Then you're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you so choose. When you do return to your seat, we would ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, just catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We take an offering at all of our communion services, and this month the offering goes to support the Youth Sunday emphasis on Blood Water Mission. I spoke a little bit about that before. It's the youth learning about and participating in bringing clean water to a huge population of people who don't have clean water now. You'll be hearing more about that as we approach Youth Sunday on April 21st. If you would like to give an offering to that cause, there are two offering plates next to the front pew. You're welcome to leave that offering as you come to commune. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. And now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you now and always.